neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when I face the chilly hand of death, where could I go but to the
as God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, which he did, and we all know that. But I want you to picture this in a total different light, if you will. I want you to picture salvation as day one. Day one is when you got saved by God's marvelous grace. You say, how did you get that? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness on the face of the deep. Wasn't that the way you were before you got saved? And then the Spirit of God began to move on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And God turned the light on and you got saved. It was almost like this. On the inside before you got saved is like this. And then all of a sudden you were sitting in church or wherever you were, or like this young man listening to that particular song, and the Spirit of God began to move upon the void and the darkness. And all of a sudden God says, let there be light. And God turned the lights on. Stainless steel, don't get excited. But that's what happened to you. If you got saved like I got saved, it was like on day one, salvation, God spoke to our heart, and God began to move on the face of the water. God said, let there be light. And then the next verse, and God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from dark. Have you ever noticed that after you get saved, you ought to know how to divide light from darkness? You ought to know right from wrong. Your friends will determine whether you walk in light or darkness. Your acquaintances will determine whether you walk in light or in darkness. And you better learn to know how to rightly divide light from darkness, or you're going to still be walking in darkness. Your acquaintances, your friends, your people you associate with. Now, I understand we got to work with those that are not saved. But here's the problem. It's not a problem when the lost world is enticed and interested in what you've got to say about the Lord. Where the problem comes is when the Christian is more interested in what the lost person has to say. I wasn't expecting a whole lot of amens, but I was expecting more than that. God says, let there be light. There was light. God saw it. So the light was good. And God light divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now we're fixing to go to day two. That's what we're preaching on today. But here's what I notice. Day one, salvation. And I'm glad I'm saved. But there's, if all God wanted to do was save, he'd have killed you when he saved. You've got six more days that God wants to work on you. Let me get to the Pentecostal side. You still got six more days. You've got day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And you know what day seven is? Day seven is perfection. Oh, I'm not talking about your state, you being perfect. But in God's eyes, God says, I'm conforming you to the image of my dear Son. And so what happens is, most people get saved on day one, and they never move to day two. They never move to day three. They never move to day four. All they wanted was to get saved so they didn't have to go to hell. They got them a little fire insurance, but they ain't planning on doing nothing else. Come on. Now, that song we just sung was good, but that preaching's pretty good, too. Hey, we ought to learn how to move on. God wants to do more for you. So here's what I want you to figure. Day one, I got saved. Day one, I got saved. And then God wants to move to day two. Grow. Start growing. What if you had a baby? Some of you had those little babies. And you had a little baby, and 20 years later, you're still holding that little baby, and wrapped up in a blanket, got a bottle in his mouth, and he's 20 years old. He hadn't grown any. You'd be taking him to the doctor to find out what's wrong. Well, I know a lot of saved people that are 20 years old, saved years, and they're still wrapped up in a blanket. They got a little baby bottle, and they're not growing. You say, preacher, what do we need to do? You need to take them to the doctor. Find out what's wrong with them. You do know the grace of physician, don't you? You know how there's so many problems in the churches. Boy, I know if y'all knew what was coming, y'all would stay home today. You know what's wrong with a lot of churches? You know why a lot of churches split? They got too many day one Christians in it.
When problems in church, you've got too many day one Christians. They never moved. They never got to day two, day three, day four, day five. They're just saved. They're on their way to heaven. Us four and no more. I ain't planning on doing that. I ain't planning on reading my Bible. I ain't planning on praying. I just want to stay out of hell, go to heaven and see Grandma, and that's all I'm planning on doing. Well, let's get to day two before we run the whole service. Let me get to day two. And God says, let the firmament, now firmament is just empty air space. Let the firmament be in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Let me explain it to you real quick. God stuck his arm in the middle of the water. And he pulled that water apart. And what you got is outer space. There's a firmament. You got water above, water below, and in the center, you have outer space. Y'all see it? Sun, moon, and stars right here? Y'all see it? Firmament in the middle. God divided water from water. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, I know what you're thinking, how in the world are we going to get any more Christian life out of that day two? Well, stay tuned. We're fixing to pray, and we're going to go in. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for it. I pray right now for your word. I pray, Lord, you would help us for the next few minutes. God, get something from your word, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. If day one is salvation, salvation. Day one is your relationship. You were born into the family of God. Little bitty baby. That's why we call it being born again. Little bitty baby. Now, what is day two? Well, day one is relationship. Then day two is your fellowship. Your fellowship. Well, you remember when, and I didn't pull this up on my soul, don't you have to follow me best you can. Pull up there where I've got all of the, let's see, it's got the day of creation, and it's got the feast of seven feasts and the seven men of faith. There we go. 7 days of creation. Y'all see day one, salvation. Day two is fellowship. Day three is fruitful. Now, that's all I put up there right now. But next Sunday, being fruitful, multiply. You know what happened on day three? Things started to be fruitful, bringing forth fruit from the ground. Well, fellowship, and then there's seven Jewish feasts in the Old Testament. The first one is Passover. Well, that matches salvation. When I see the blood, I pass over you. Day two, fellowship, unleavened bread. Get to that, hold that thought. Seven tabernacle pieces of furniture. The first was the brazen altar. That matches day one of salvation. That matches the Passover. That matches the men of faith, Abel. All of it in the Bible. You say, preacher, men wrote that Bible. No, God put that thing together. On day number two, has to deal with your fellowship. Now, watch this. You say, how does that do with the unleavened bread? What does that have to do with the second feast? Well, it's supposed to match day two. Watch this. On day two, fellowship. You know what they did, unleavened bread? After Passover, they had the days of unleavened bread for 7 days. You know what they did? They went through their whole house, and they're looking for unleavened. They're looking for leaven. Leaven is a picture and type of sin. Man, they're looking in the closet. They're cleaning out their house. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So after you get saved, you need a house cleaning. Well, I may have to bring my old amens with me next Sunday. Hallelujah. But after you get saved, you've got to start cleaning house. There's certain things you can't do anymore. There's certain things you shouldn't want to do anymore. There are things that you go through your house and you look and say, man, I can't do this. I can't. I know. The Holy Spirit talking to you on the inside. Well, you need to get rid of that. Boy, you don't need to look at that no more. Boy, you don't need to listen to that no more. That right there, you need to clean that out. You see why a lot of people don't want to move to day two? Because they like keeping their stuff. But the more you read the word, you divide water from water. You say, preacher, how do you divide water from water? Well, let's get a Bible definition. I think it's Ephesians 5. Ladies, I think it'll give you a good place to say amen. Ephesians 5 and about verse 26, 25, 26, somewhere along in there. It says, husbands, love your wives. Ladies, people are watching on the internet. Husbands, love your wives. even if Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So, if you divide on day two, we divide water from water. You better know how to divide this thing. You better know how to divide water from water. Because you're going to find some places in here. That, I think the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you want to know how to divide water from water, you'll have to come on Wednesday nights and we get into that. We divide water from water. Totally different than Sunday morning. We divide water from water. When you get saved, you ought to want to learn his book. You ought to want to be able to read his book. Once you read his book, then you want to get all the sin. You'll start going through your house. Boy, I need to do a house cleaning. How many of us need to do a house cleaning? Boy, we have a spring cleaning. About March or so, April, have a spring cleaning. Well, the Christian life, we're going to have to do some cleaning, and not just in the spring. Days of unleavened bread. The unleavened bread. Remove the sin. James 1:15 says, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. I think Romans 6:23 says something like this. See if you can help me. For the wages of sin is... That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, and you have to remove it from your life. You say, what am I supposed to do with this word? What am I supposed to do with the word? Well, you do the same thing that Jesus did with it. Jesus, the bread, he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or 5 loaves and 2 biscuits, or whatever it was. And he took that, and he divided water from water, word, and he started passing it out. He started taking the word and giving it to people. On day two, start dividing water from water. Start here. Let me show you, Tommy. Let me share you a verse that I read this week, and boy, this is so good. And then he tells me, and we're just eating bread one with another. Christians don't do that anymore. We need to move from day one just being saved. I'm glad I'm saved, but I want more than just salvation. I want to grow in the nurtured admonition of the Lord. Now, let's go back to that screen you were just on and about the 7 pieces of furniture. I'm going to lay this all out for you. Day one, salvation. 7 feasts. First one, Passover. That matches salvation. Abel brought the blood sacrifice. Matches salvation. Man, you can't get away from it. 7 pieces of furniture. Brace it off. It has to do with salvation. But watch this. Look at that second piece. If that second piece of furniture, it has to do with something with unleavened bread and fellowship. You know what? There's a picture of that and that laser. There's a man washing his hands. When they came into the temple, they took that brazen altar, salvation. The next piece of furniture they went to was this labor. And this labor was, they didn't have mirrors back then. So you'd look down into this water, still water, and you could see yourself. You could see if you had dirt on your face. You could see if your hands were dirty and you had something on your face. You look down in that water. What's water? Washing of it. How do you wash your face? I'm looking into the mirror. Boy, look what that verse says about me. Well, I better find me a wash rag and get that off. I don't want to go to Walmart looking like this. Some people don't care. You go to Walmart, man, you got to wear blinders and you don't know telling what you're going to see. People in their pajamas. Hallelujah. Whatever. I mean, help yourself. Knock yourself out. But look, on the spiritual sense, every morning when you get up, look in the mirror and see if you got dirt on your face before you go out in the world. Open it up. But you know why people don't like to do that? Because they don't like what this is about. People don't like to be told they got dirt on their face. You ladies, you know, if you've got lipstick all over here, your eyes all over here, you don't want somebody walking, boy, who did your makeup? You don't want nobody pointing it out. And so a lot of times we don't read about it because we don't want it pointing anything wrong with me out. Because when I watch television, it says I'm a good person. makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. But when I resist, I find out something different and find out that I need to go to the laver. I need to clean up, get sin. Look in here and say, boy, I've got to get something to wash my face.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Well, this sermon ain't going over like I thought it would. You say, preacher, hey, go to James chapter 1, right here, look here. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, there's people in here, they just hear it. They ain't planning on doing nothing with it, they just hear it. Be ye doers of the word and not just come on Sunday and hear it and then go and put this on the coffee table. We get home and next Sunday morning pick it up. Somebody help me. Now, I come to preach. I come to preach in Millsfield. If you had to get here, all the flooding and the water that I had to come through. Hey. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. We just saw the man looking down. Beholding his face in the glass. You thought I was out of the Bible. I'm still in it. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. You imagine looking in the mirror, boy, you got mascara, you got dirt all over your face, and you say, well, I look pretty good. I'm gonna go on to church. I'm gonna go on to work. And you wonder why people at work don't know where you go to church. They can't tell.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because
you go to work with dirt on your face. And if somebody sees you, they say, man, I didn't know you was a Christian. Boy, don't that sting. We'll save the rest of that Wednesday night. Get in the Word. Look into the mirror. Boy, I got dirt on my face right there. Boy, I need to find out what's wrong with me. You say, preacher, are you still in the Bible? I am in the Bible. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says over there in John 15 and verse 3. Jesus said this, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're clean. You're clean that way. Now a lot of people, they want saved. Oh, ain't that good? I'm saved. Woo! But guess what? You still have to get clean. Don't y'all, I hope and pray y'all take a bath every day. No show of hands because we don't have that embarrassed. But hey, you ought to take a bath, shower, something. I rode up on somebody the other day and I thought their name was Lazarus. They've been dead 4 days and they stink. Yes. Hey, but what about saved people? Saved people. Man, you get, woo! Man, when's the last time you've been in the Bible? When's the last time you've been in the shop? You see how that works both ways? Now, Psalm 119, about verse number 9, says this, wherewithal shall a young man clean his way? How you going to be clean? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. That's how you get clean. Now, you're saying, all right, how's all this? Y'all remember this story? Y'all remember this story in John 13? You want to turn there? It's not on the screen, but in John 13, Jesus is up there, and he's wanting to wash the disciples' feet. Y'all remember that story? And Jesus goes to wash the disciples' feet. And he gets down, he starts, and he comes to Peter. Y'all know Peter. Oh, Peter. Peter's one of those guys that speaks before it goes through the filter. How many know somebody like that? And so Peter says, Lord, you ain't washing my feet. You ain't washing my feet. And Jesus said, now, Peter, if you'll let me wash your feet, if you'll let me wash your feet, you won't have no inheritance, no part with me. You won't have any inheritance with me. You need to let me wash your feet. Peter said, well, Lord, if that's the case, give me a plumb bath. That's what it means in the Greek. Jesus said, Peter, you don't need a bath. You're already saved. But this world you've been walking in has got your feet dirty. I saved you on day one. But as we walk through this world every day, you should wash your feet. And Peter said, Christians, hey, God, wash me, wash my feet. Look down at it later. Wash my hands, wash my feet. Lord, I want to be clean. I don't want anything between us. In my Christian life, I don't want anything between us that would hurt my fellowship with you. My relationship's on day one. But Lord, I want to grow. I want to know the Bible. I want to read the Bible. I want to have a daily prayer life with you. I want to be clean as best I can. That's what he's talking about moving to day two. But now, I got one more. Go to that screen and go show all the ones again. Got one more. Man, we're moving pretty good today. Now watch this. We'll get back to it. No, not that much. Here we go. Y'all see the seven men of faith? Seven men of faith. Day one. Salvation. Feast, Passover. That all has to do with salvation. Men of faith, Abel. He brought that blood sacrifice. Salvation. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Abel. There we go. All right. That second man of faith, Enoch. You know what the Bible says about Enoch. Oh, that's about Hebrews chapter number 11. It says Enoch walked with God. His walk with God. And he was so close to God. He had fellowship with God. That God and Enoch was out walking one day. And they had been out walking and just having a good time, fellowshipping with one another. And Enoch looks at his watch and says, well, Lord, I guess it's about time for me to go home. It's getting late. God says, well, Enoch, you're closer to my house than we are yours. Won't you just step on over? And Genesis chapter 5, Enoch was translated and took up, and God took him out of sight. Because he had that kind of walk with God. People, yes, I'm saved. Going to heaven. But hey, do we walk like it? Are we clean? How do you get clean, preacher? By taking heed thereof, his word. I give this illustration, I'm done. Sandy's coming, he's going to start playing. I give this illustration, I've given it before, but it's a good illustration. Husband and wife, they get married, and boy, that husband was so demanding. That husband had a list for his wife. Man, I want breakfast at 7, and then when I come home, ladies, rededicate your life, man. And he had a rigorous list. I'm talking about breakfast. I want breakfast at 7. When I come home for lunch, I want my lunch right there on that table at 10, you know. And I come in from work, supper at 5, and boy, and I need my socks all done this way and all this. I mean, he had a list I'm talking about. Boy, she got up done. Man, she got up, did all that stuff. And they got on up in years, and of course the fella died, and she took that list, she put it in a drawer somewhere, and she just put it in a drawer somewhere and forgot about it. Later on in her life, she met another man. Her first husband died, so she met another man and got acquainted, and she fell in love with that man. They got married. Several years later, she was cleaning, going through stuff. She looked in the drawer. She found that list from her first husband. She looked at that list. She said, all that list. And that's what she found out. She found out she was still doing everything on that list. But it's different this time. The first time she was doing it, she was just checking off a list. Out of obligation. The second man she absolutely fell in love with, and she was doing everything on that list without even knowing. Because she fell in love with him. You never want to get in your Christian life where you're just checking a list. I smiled at somebody today. I said sorry today. I did good today. I gave my tithe today. I showed up today. It was raining. I showed up. I got checked out on my list. And I apologized. I've been good to my neighbor. Checked out on my list. There has to come a time in your Christian life when you do everything on that list without having to look at the list. You just do it because you love. Say, preacher, boy, that's That's men preaching. No. I want people to move from day one to day two. Next Sunday, I want you to move to day three. I want us to move to day four. I want us to move to day five, day six. And then when we all get to heaven on day seven, what rejoices, gentlemen? God wants to do something for us. He just wants. Yes, he will save you. If you're not saved, he wants to save you. Boom. Wonderful. But if you are saved, okay. There's something else. There's something called living for him. Ain't that wonderful? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you bless the invitation. Somebody needs to come. They need to come. Lord, just make sure everything's all right. Just making sure everything's all right. Sandy playing, I must tell Jesus. Oh, that is the truth. I must tell him. Lord, we thank you. Blessed invitation. There's somebody on the side of my voice that's not saved. They don't know you like I do.